You know, I understand that TV show, The Chosen, is based on the Bible, and there's extra biblical things there. But I liked one of the episodes I watched. And one of the disciples is portrayed on this series as having he's crippled in a leg. And when Jesus sends him out two by two to heal people, he basically says, "Why don't you heal me?" And again, I know this isn't in the Bible, but it's a biblical principle. And Jesus said, "I could. But maybe you're going to bring more glory to God where you're at. So maybe God doesn't move. Because if he did, it wouldn't bring him as much glory as being where he's at." So today I'm going to talk about unknown. If you remember last year, two of the things the Lord spoke to me for this church was service and humility. The service is to get on board and serve the community, to show them the love of God. The humility was, we're not to do it to make a name for ourselves. We're to come up underneath different ministries like Second Chances downstairs and Bridge to Hope and Victory, which, by the way, I talked to the head of Victory yesterday, and they really need some men that are willing to maybe do a Bible study or just go hang out with them. So, you know, and also I got a call from a local nursing home that would ask, could we do a service one Sunday a month, like at 1 p.m? And I'm praying about it, because that's really how I started my first ministry, was at Oswego Hospital once a month. So I'm praying about it, and I'd ask you to pray about it. But in Hebrews 11, the chapter of faith, women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Lord Jesus, we come today and we're going to be talking about being unknown. And what I mean by that, Lord, is we may be unknown by the world, but we're not unknown by you. You tell us, don't let your right hand know what the left hand is doing. Father, you know. We live in a day and age of self-acknowledgement and of pride. Hey, look at me on Facebook. I tied my shoes today. We laugh, Lord, but we don't understand. I want to say this carefully, that very often it comes from a place of pride. We see professional athletes, we see celebrities, movie stars, rock stars, etc., and they cannot get enough for themselves, and they want us to get even more. Jesus, you didn't seek the spotlight. Help us to live in humility. But I also understand that we all need to be affirmed. We all need to know we are significant. Lord, the fact is the world may ignore us, but you never do. But I also know there's such a challenge to live that out, Lord. So, Father, speak to us today. In your name, amen. You know, a few weeks ago, we went to my older daughter in Maryland, and my youngest daughter went with us. And she left her baby and her dog at home with her husband. And my son-in-law is a fantastic father. He's just all in, but he doesn't do it with seeking recognition. And I say that because I watched a funny video online And this guy is talking to his wife saying, I watch the kids all weekend and I am amazed at what you do. He said, as a guy, if I fold a towel and bring it upstairs and put it away, I want acknowledgement. You know, I want it to be all over where my wife, you just think I'm the greatest thing. And the point he was making is, we take it for granted. I mean, this is hard. I remember years ago, Melody had to work early, and I sent my oldest daughter to kindergarten, and men button their shirts in the front. So that's what I did with her dress, and I sent her to school twice with her dress on backwards. But the point I want to make today, don't look for recognition. Don't look to be noticed. Chapter 11 in Hebrews is the heroes of the faith. Today I'm talking about the people, you don't know their names. Some of them were sawn in two. They were tortured. They didn't see the promises of God. What does that mean? Christ hadn't come yet. So today I'm talking about others. Take comfort in the truth that you are known by God. The first point I want to make is you are significant to the Lord. You know, I look at today's message. It's important for disciples because we need to have God's attitude, not the world's attitude. We have to not look to be noticed. I mean, I get so tired of seeing, hey, Joe movie star went to the hospital and visited the kids. Now, that's a great thing. The newspapers just happened to be there, and the cameras just happened to be there. I'm sorry, that loses some importance to me. You know, the Bible tells us that the devil is a liar. He's an accuser of the brethren. And I want to encourage you today, each and every one of you, you are known by God. You know, I went to a funeral of a friend of mine, Paul Anderson, who pastored Believers Chapel North in Mexico, and that place was packed. But not everybody has such a prominent public place of ministry. But it doesn't mean it's any less important. You know, and so often we base our self-worth on how much people affirm us and how much people care for us. You know, I think one of the hardest things as a Christian is to keep going on when you see other people being raised up. You know, a lot of us, Satan wants us to feel like we're overlooked, we're insignificant, we're unnoticed. That's never the truth with God. And so, man, I've told you so many times, I have dealt with insecurity my whole life, so I get this. But I look at these names, and it said others, some. We don't know these people's names. They didn't look for recognition. They said, hey, Gideon is noticed. This person is noticed. But they pressed on in God because they served the living God. The thing I like about Jesus, he never ran to the spotlight because he knew being unseen does not mean you're unimportant. Like I said, we went and visited Eva, and there's a woman in this church that sends her cards, and I can't tell you how much that ministered to her. There's no fanfare. We're not going to put it on Facebook. We're not going to put it on a video. But God used it. So if God wakes you up in the middle of the night and tells you to pray for somebody, don't roll over. Don't say, well, all I have to offer. In his book, Replenish, Lance Witt writes, it is that one spiritual health question we need to ask ourselves. Am I willing to serve in obscurity? I know you guys, you're sitting here at 10:41 on a Sunday morning, you're in church, we just had fabulous worship, you're answering that question, of course I am. It gets hard though, doesn't it? It gets hard when you serve. I remember when I first started working for the church, we put on this big thing, and I did something, and somebody went to the pastor and said, "Man, it was great that you did this." And you know, every part of me wanted it. He didn't squat. It was me. God said, "Shut up." On a daily basis. Let's face it, if you're on Facebook, you're like me, there's a lot of people you hide. I'm going to snooze you for 30 days, and when the 31st day comes, I'm doing it again because I'm tired of seeing everything. Everybody, the world around us wants to be noticed, but God says, "I don't want you to be noticed." Because when we seek recognition, aren't we taking the focus off of Jesus? In her book, Anonymous, Alicia Cole writes, "From God's perspective, anonymous seasons are sacred spaces." These words are easy to read. Sometimes when we're living them out, we think it's a bunch of hooey. "From God's perspective, anonymous seasons are sacred spaces, applauded, but not unproductive. Hidden years are the surprising birthplace of true spiritual greatness." Are you willing to wait? Are you willing to be quiet? Are you willing to wait upon God? I know what it's like. I know what it's like when I see other churches doing things and, wow, man, they're getting all this notoriety and I want to be like that. I'm a human being. But God's saying, it's not about that. Accept the quiet places. Accept the places where you think you're overseen, because God never oversees us. It's time for our faith to increase. I love what John wrote, John the Baptist. "He must increase, but I must decrease." I've been yelled at for saying what I'm about to say. The older we get, the less you're supposed to do, the more you're supposed to train. Boom. I love seeing a young person lead us in song. Next week, we have basic takeover. What does that mean? They're doing everything. I ain't even going to study this week because it's on Tristan's shoulders. I said that once in a message and somebody came to me, "Are you just kicking us to the curb?" I said, no, the first day I was a pastor here, I said, "Who is the one person you're praying for to disciple? If you can't do that, do we even belong calling ourselves servants of God?" Yes, I'm going to pull back because I know sometimes I'm too straightforward. What I'm saying is, it's not about what we do. We got a new band, what's that thing called, Logo. And A, I learned one thing this week. Tom Herbert can be mean. I'm just leaving it at that. Because he was laughing at me because the people that made it for us, they're doing a press release. And they took our pictures. Amen, hallelujah. That really bites in my opinion. I hate stuff like that. And then they quote me with things I never said. But I know it's good to move forward. I do not like advertising. I gotta live with this face. You think I want to see it in the paper? I know what you're thinking. No, I have not had work done. These jowls are all mine. But we have to do it. And it's saying, here, and we did it, and it's gonna do it, but it's because I want people to know Jesus. It can't be about us. It is on. I am pushing it. Okay, I'm going to forget about this thing. Yes. Faith moves on. 35, they talk about they were tortured. They were mocked. They were flogged. They were imprisoned, sawn in two. You know, do you ever see the movie Braveheart? At the end, when Mel Gibson's laying there, and they have this hideous device like a sword, and eventually... Yeah. And they offer him some poison or something to kill the pain, and he spits it out. Me, I say, can I have a double? I mean, I don't even drink after my wife, but if Mel's next to me, if you ain't gonna drink it, spit it in my mouth, because I want all the painkiller I can get. Jesus didn't take the mirror offered, whatever was offered to him. These people were unknown people who refused to bow down to society. They refused to say no to God, and they were tortured. We're not tortured. Yes, we're mocked. We're not imprisoned. Yet. They were destitute. What would you do if all of a sudden the morality police came in here and said, do you love Jesus? If you do, you got to give everything you have. You got to leave here, and all that you own is what you're wearing. I hope we would say, I'm going to get through by the grace of God. You know, but these verses show us that all men and women of faith experience miraculous deliverance. You know, God moved differently in the lives of these people than the lives of the people earlier on in the chapter where we read Gideon and all these people. He chose, for some reason, to be anonymous. All of a sudden, I had a brain freeze, so I'm just going to paraphrase this. It's kind of like one of the disciples, James, John, whatever, one is put to death, and all of a sudden another disciple is released from prison. Now, if my brother got put to death, and then this other disciple got released, what's up with that? You see, we have to deal with our ego. I remember when the Lord moved me up north. We went to a very small church, and forgive me, and I've repented from this sin, but I went there and said, did you just send me up here to get rid of me, God, to get me out of the way? Give me. I repented 100 times over. But that's how we look at things. You know, in the book I'm reading about Replenish, I like it because it talks about how in the last 50 years so many pastors get so discouraged because we think it's a numbers game, and it's not. It's a faithfulness game. Are we doing what God has called us to do? Can God move powerfully? Absolutely. Does he always know? Years ago, I got healed of having a testicular tumor. A friend of mine didn't, so I take him back and forth to chemotherapy in Syracuse. It was not a pretty scene. I get out of the car one day, and there happened to be another believer there that said, if you had faith, you wouldn't have cancer. Forget the faith movement. I'm not into heresy. Sometimes Jesus heals us permanently. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. I don't get it, but I trust him. I trust him. John 21, hopefully. It was there for a second. Peter turned around and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back against him during the supper and had said, Lord, who is it that is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. But I'm not getting recognition. You follow me. Well, how about Dave Prady? How about it? You follow me. See, this is where it hurts, is where I have seen so many people sidetracked. Pride. The old Toby Keith song, me, it's about my, about me, my, me. No, I just said it wrong, but go look at the video. I love me some me. I've lived with me for 64 and a half years, but it can't be about me. You
follow.
What is God telling you to do? He might tell you to serve in the most obscure place, and it's not because you're second rate. It's not because he doesn't love you any less. Maybe it's because he trusts you to bring all the glory to him, and you won't get in the way. I don't want a church that's built on personality. I don't want a church that's built on entertainment or built on special effects. I want a church that is built on a people like you guys do that love Jesus Christ or are willing to go into the highways, into the byways for him. You know, faith allows me to turn away from the approval of man and to seek only the approval of God. I remember getting saved. I remember my dad telling me I was brainwashed. I remember my dad telling me when I came on staff, that if this is a phase that will pass. Thank God it didn't. And I praise God that eventually he gave his life to Christ. But I had to make that choice. God, I got to do whatever it is you want me to do. If God isn't seemingly moving in your life, please don't take it because you don't have enough faith. Because you don't. You won't until you die and go home to be with the Lord. We are a work in progress. Now, maybe sometimes we pray and say, Lord, is there something I got to cut out of my life? Okay, I get it. But realize in the quiet seasons, it's when God is moving. Like I said, as a church, man, we're in the spring season. I'm glad it's been like 12 years of winter, and I'm tired of that. Jesus says, never will I leave you or forsake you. And here's a question I got. Do you believe that? When you get that phone call you really don't want to get, do you believe that? That God is with you every step of the way. Why did these people at the end of this chapter do what they did? They were eternally minded. They weren't looking at the here and now. They weren't looking at next week. They were looking at eternity. You know, one of the people that when I think of selfless service, I think of Mother Teresa in Calcutta. You know, her ministry was the missions of charity. She cared for abandoned babies, and she cared for the poorest of the poor. I don't think she had a Facebook account. I don't think she had billboards by, hey, look at me. I have been in cities where I see pastors on billboards. Rest assured, that will never happen. I remember years ago when Mike Stahl was a pastor, we bought the school building and we're getting a billboard. And one of the leaders said, I think, Mike, you and Wendy and Dick and Melody should be on that billboard. So I sat there about 5 minutes and kept quiet. Miracle in and of itself. Then I turned to the person and said, just imagine it's you and your wife. What would your wife say? He was quiet for like 20 seconds and go, yeah, scratch that idea. So good. Could you see my big old head on a billboard? That would scare people. But Mother Teresa answered a call of God on her life. You should see who she dealt with lovingly. Why? When God calls us, he gives us the grace. You know, the acknowledgement we need to hear is at the end of my life, God says to us, well done, my good and faithful servant. Come and enter into my rest. It's not getting a bunch of attaboys, getting a bunch of pat on the backs. Maybe you're going to be up here. Maybe you're going to be in the back. Can I tell you a secret? When I went to that funeral yesterday, that place was packed. I sat in the last row. And I loved it. I didn't have to do a thing. Until I came on staff, I sat in the back. God had other plans. I had to wrestle with that. Faith does not move on. The promise, it does, but that's how I'm going. The promises of God are never delayed. You know, in 39, because in all these commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, Christ, that they, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. If you ever read the Old Testament in the Bible, there's times that people's prayers weren't answered until after they died. What are you praying for? There's things I prayed for 20 to 30 years, and I still pray for them. I remember praying for my dad, and I knew what he thought about Christianity, and I kept praying, and I kept praying, and I literally no way that's going to happen. It did. Through a stroke. Through some ugliness. Praise God it happened. Not because I'm a sadist, but it brought him to Jesus Christ. These people of faith died without receiving the promise of God, and they didn't complain. They didn't think they were ripped off because they knew the goodness of God. Hebrews says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Romans tells us faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. I read a cute story. This guy gets off a plane, and there's a little elderly woman gets off the plane. And he watches her. She goes and gets her little suitcase, and she's rolling it to the door. And there's her little old husband. And he sees her, and he gets this big smile on her face. And they're in their late 80s. And he gives her a hug, and they leave the airport hand in hand. Their looks were gone. Their strength was gone. It's all about relationship. My generation, we have to pray for the future. My prayer has been, and I would ask you to join with me, Lord, bring somebody on staff. Let them be able to inspire people in ways I cannot. I know. One thing the Lord showed me recently, and I've been praying about even mentioning this building is not our future. But I'm not going to be here to take you to the next one. Not that God's going to take me home. He might. But I'm saying that because I know my call as a foundation builder. And I don't know how many years down the road that is. But my prayer is, Lord, you bring my replacement. I just want to be faithful to the here and now. And it hurts. Can I be honest? The church I was at before I left, and man, they took off, and I felt like, yay. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Yay. Because what did the enemy whisper in my ear? You blew it. So God said, to do. And this ain't about me. I want to encourage New Covenant Community Church, because one of the things God is doing here, he wants you to trust him with you. Maybe your ministry is to write people notes and send it to them. Please know it doesn't go in vain. God uses it tenfold. Maybe it's going to be public, but more than likely it's not. But God wants you to trust him with this church. Are we moving forward? We most certainly are. Are we going to grow and make an impact in this community? We are, and we will continue to. But we need to trust God, and you need to believe that he has called you. Not the person next to you. Yes, they're called to, but he's called you. You gotta believe that. God is saying, it's been enough of the lies you've listened to. If you are mine, I have called you. You see, obscurity doesn't matter. The relationship matters. So in summary, if we can get there, too often we mistake acknowledgement as a sign of worth. I have three boys in my family. My two older brothers both made the Honor Society. My one brother was on the varsity baseball team, I think in eighth or ninth grade. his highest grades were usually about 10 points. I mean, his lowest grades were like 10 points higher than my highest. Did some damage on my ego. So what I did is I became the black sheep, and oh, did I become the black sheep till God got a hold of me. So acknowledgement doesn't mean it's a sign of worth. I started off with an example about moms. You're not unsung heroes in God's eyes, with no matter what you do. People often strive for the spotlight that is not from God. Why do I say that? Because of the focus is on us. It needs to be on Him. When the focus of our life is Jesus Christ, the unseen seasons are okay. Disciple of Jesus needs to embrace the truth that God always sees us. He moves in ways that will bring Him glory. Sometimes it means pain for us. Humility is key. You, follow Jesus. Close your eyes, please. Lord, the point I want to make today, please instill in us that You have called everybody in this room. Everybody sitting at home, we are created for a purpose. We are all the body of Christ. Some are the head, some are the mouth, some are the big toe. We don't want to be big toes. I'm glad I have my big toe. I'd be falling all over myself if I didn't. See, we're the ones that put worth on the different callings. You don't. Lord, any calling is just as important as the other. It's just different. Lord, let us strive to bring glory to Your name, not ourselves. Yes, we want to be known as a church, but no, not to build up the name of New Covenant Community Church, but to bring more people into eternal glory with You, Lord. And Father, I know there's a fear of man that rests on a lot of us, this spiritual warfare, that we're afraid to share our faith, that we're afraid to invite people, we're afraid to reach out. But Lord, let us pray about that one person that You have called us to reach out to, and let us trust You in the process. It doesn't mean when we first talk to them, we take them through the whole Bible. Maybe we just have an innocent conversation, that as we build relationship, You are faithful to bring us to the point where we share our faith, where we are able to impart something to them. Lord, let us raise up our heads this morning. And let us trust You, Lord, and know that never will You leave us or forsake us. That we are all significant in Your eyes. You have no favorite children. Not even me. By the way, that was a joke. Just move today, Lord. I thank You for New Covenant Community Church and for what You're doing, Lord. Let us accept whatever challenges lie ahead of us. Let us embrace obscurity, knowing You never leave us overlooked or unnoticed. Bless this church and these people, Lord. To You be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Blessings.